Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonner, Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Great show today. We're going to have Campaign Integrity Watchdog King.
Matt Arnold about a GOP establishment smackdown.
Smackdown.
We're going to energize her thing.
And no, don't start talking, Julie. Oh. And we've also got Karen Cadlin's coming on. We'd love to have her on. And then we're going to have Randy Corcoran. Who is running for National Committee Man and is doing a great job on a lot of things. So all those folks, and of course your calls at
888.
Or make that 888-627-6008. We always welcome your calls.
I want to let folks know the show was brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, one of the websites I check every day. One of the things they have up there right now, you need to check this out. It's a survey they did from people about should POLIS get things back to work. I think if you listen to our show, the results won't shock you. That's what we're going to be talking to Karen Cadlin about. As Chuck said, a literal prairie fire exploding, not just in Colorado, but across the country.
But if you're a conservative, if you want to find out what conservatives are thinking in Colorado, you got to go to Colorado Citizens Press. If you don't go to anything else, go to Colorado Citizens Press.
And one other reminder to folks, you can always get our podcast at chuckandjulie.com or go to our YouTube channel, and it's Chuck and Julie Show, and you can always subscribe there. But one of the things, if you listen to our show, you know that one of the things we are is very grassroots, populist, the people, right? That's what it's all about. And one of the guys who does, I think, a fine job keeping an eye on, it didn't start out to be the establishment. I think it started out to be campaign integrity, but as it turns out, ironically, it is about establishment, but it's Matt Arnold with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. So, hey, Matt, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Unmute your microphone. Can you unmute your microphone? We're not hearing you.
There you go. You got it.
All right.
And let me say, too, I was surprised. Yeah, I got your request to friend you. I'm like, how are we not friends?
Right?
But we are now. So why don't you talk to us? So I, rather than me even try to explain it, let me have you kind of go through the background about.
I want to go into further background. I mean, for the folks who don't know it, and 99% of people or 90% of people don't know it. There are two parties in Colorado, the Democrats, Republicans, and some others.
There are some others, but yeah.
The Democrats have taken over the state by doing ballot harvesting, which the Republicans in the state seem fine with. They never seem to fight against it.
They seem to be good at rolling over.
Yeah, they're rollovers. Establishment Republicans are total rollovers. The president went out yesterday. I tweeted about how awful ballot harvesting was.
Right.
But within the Republican Party, there's two parts, the grassroots, you and me, mom and dads, kids, families, and then the rich guys. And the rich guys are all in country clubs, and I belong to country clubs. I belong to country clubs everywhere. I belong in Northern Ireland. I belong here. I belong there. But as far as Colorado goes, they dominate the one, and they're vicious. I mean, they themselves are not vicious. They're like the owners of a plantation. They don't watch the slaves being whipped and castrated or anything. They have others do it.
Right.
They really do. I mean, I was amazed. I mean, even in New Jersey, as corrupt as politics are, they're nothing like these people. The candy man, which is just amazing. I mean, and we just had, and what they do is they rig races. I mean, yeah. I like Ken Buck as chairman. But he rigged the race. He didn't do it. He had others rig the race. They did last-minute clickers, and they did it with all the sudden.
Go back to Tom Tancredo being forced out of the race with George Brock or something.
Right.
A bunch of shenanigans. And you're right. They do manipulate things behind the scenes, and they have a whole host of campaign operatives, much like your plantation overseers that are the thugs that do the dirty work, that are out there whipping people. Right. And, you know, meanwhile, the plantation owners are back in the front porch sipping the mint julep.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're so nice. And you meet the candy man. You would not know what he does to kids and families. He seems like a nice person. Well, he does.
All right.
He does.
Anyway,
seem like
we
a
only
nice
have
person.
Met for about 15 minutes, so let's jump into the topic at hand.
Well, it's relevant. It's relevant.
I don't disagree, but.
So let's go. What they did it, you know, Kaufman used to do it. Prevent himself from getting opponents in his congressional district. And now we had another example with Eli Bremmer. Now, Eli Bremmer, you'd think, hey, this is a good guy. I mean, athlete, he went to the Air Force Academy. Boy, he should be a straight shooter.
And he'll remind you of that every time.
Yeah, well, yes, that's right. All his pictures of him swimming, a pentathlon, if you don't know what it is, it's kind of strange. It's
his past glory, right, his one claim to fame.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was like 25th in the world or something.
Yeah, did he get that high?
I don't know.
Right. Either way, both guys are trying to move this along.
No, we don't need you to move anything along. We're having a good time. Well, you know.
Time
is relative. Space-time.
So
came now, you know, last time we had the Both Ways Bob Beaupre, who also, if you meet him, seems like a nice person. As crooked as it could be, but seems like a nice person.
He's sort of a genial, grandfatherly type.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Colorado, what they call him at the radio station. He said, "I mean, Mr. Colorado is a crook." Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he ran this Sub Rosa thing where he ran against all these Republican people, all of these dirty flyers of the worst sort.
Filthy. They were just utterly character assassination.
Yeah. Right. And then he got exposed by Matt. But one of the people that got in was Larry Liston. And I forget.
Yes.
And apparently the same dirty stuff is going on because Larry Liston doesn't
want to. Well, this is an attempt by Eli Bremmer.
It's pretty obvious.
Obviously would be the better word than to basically in Senate District 6 to make sure that there was. 10 rather, Senate District 10.
It's in El Paso County.
That there was just
one. Of course, the Rhino Herd.
Candidate that people could vote on.
Which was Larry Liston.
And there were a lot of allegations made, and we won't get into, unless you want to, Matt, some of the specifics, but a lot of allegations made that he ran the whole thing crookedly, essentially, because David Stiver, is that how you say his name?
Yeah, so David Stiver was the gentleman who stood up to run as a grassroots challenge to Larry Liston. Larry Liston has been the establishment guy. He's been in politics forever. I think pretty much all this last couple of decades in various iterations. And he came back and ran for state representative against Janet Joshi in 2010. Janet Joshi was a solid conservative. And, of course, he upset a few of the establishment apple carts in El Paso County. So, of course, he had to go.
Right.
So Both Ways Bob manipulated things and generated this really despicable smear campaign against Janik and pulled his little rhino buddy Larry across the finish line. And in El Paso County, the rhinos won. Again, go figure. It's the Rhino Preserve. Most of Both Ways Bob's attempts failed kind of utterly because, I mean, he's Both Ways Bob. He's not all that adept, and neither were his operatives. But they weren't able to do enough damage in the Rhino Preserve of El Paso County to get
his operatives turn out to be his family.
Yeah, well, of course.
They're like the Borgias. And he's Rodrigo Borgia.
Well, they'll make money. It's not just operatives. Well, it's operatives making money.
Well, family members.
Well, it's family. It's incestuous. It's all in the family, right? I mean, it literally is almost incestuous.
Yeah.
And so then what happened, because everybody knows with all the shutdowns and everything, and we know in Adams County, right, CD7, they've been having to do voting for delegates, voting for candidates in the county assemblies and the various assemblies remotely. And as I understand it, part of the problem was, number one, the system that this Eli Bremmer set up was hacked. Number one, so
it wasn't even really a system. He basically set up an email account on Yahoo and said, "Hey, email me your votes."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure.
That, you bet. That's totally legit.
And then,
right?
So they had problems with that. Then he was changing the date. Then he started doing other shenanigans, and that's a kind word for it. Once he found out that this Larry Liston was going to have a challenge. And to make a long story short, magically everyone clicked their heels 3 times, and the winner was Larry Liston.
Surprise, surprise, Larry Liston.
Yeah, exactly. Fortunately for grassroots people, people like you and Randy Corcoran got into the involved and said, "Hey, wait a minute."
I didn't get that involved. I mean, David reached out to me. I pointed him in a couple of directions, but David, he's savvy. I mean, he understands this process very well himself, and he knew that he'd been cheated. There was no doubt. Right. And, you know, given my knowledge of Eli, by the way, you know, his actual name is Bob.
No,
his actual given name is Robert Eli Bremmer. He goes by Eli instead of his real name, Bob. So we have really the Bob trifecta down in El Paso County. We've got the Both Ways Bob. We've got the Eli Bob. We've got the bouncing Bob Gardner. So pretty much rule of thumb, folks, in color politics. If someone's name is Bob, no, bad. Vote against them. If they're running for office, their name is Bob. If they're involved in politics, their name is Bob, No.
If there are any nice Bobs out there, call us and we'll screen you. But
you know, I'm not aware of any nice Bobs in politics. So there are a few people kind of on the periphery, but you know, sorry. If you're a politician,
if your name's Bob, it's nothing against you, but you know, if you're a
but you know what, here's
but they brought a case in front of the executive committee. Is that who they bring it to in front of?
So that's what I heard about. And so Randy's the guy that actually I think you're having him on later and
right,
he knows all about
30.
It. I mean, he's the guy that got into that and ran the thing and ran a successful challenge, which is amazing.
Right.
The executive committee actually listened to facts and logic and the case, and they did the right thing. I'm shocked.
Did, they said, no, both names will go out in the ballot.
Right.
We're not going to reward Eli Bremer
for his
corrupt activities.
Right.
And so
the voters decide.
And of course, all the money will go to Larry Liston, but I think I'm gonna send a little money to Steve. Not a lot. I don't have
Dave,
away.
Yeah.
Dave, brother.
Dave, right.
Send him. Maybe other people can. But it was a great win for against really corrupt people. I mean, you think in Colorado, you know, Colorado generally most people are pretty nice. You think, well, Republican Party in Colorado, they'll be very nice. And then you find out, well, guess not. Not on the establishment side. They are as amoral and vicious.
Well, and who was?
And corrupt as all get out.
Yeah, and Wayne Williams.
I was going to say, one of your favorites, right?
Wayne Williams
was representing
Eli Bremer.
Was representing Eli Bremer, saying,
totally
hey,
shocked.
There's nothing to see here, right?
Move along, nothing to see here. All my corruption. I mean, Wayne Williams is as corrupt as they come, and it's been that way for a while. And you know what he has done in this instance. I think I look into filing an attorney ethics complaint against Williams for his actions in this situation. You know, he had already represented the party. It's a clear conflict of interest to represent.
Right.
Against really the membership of the party, of which, you know, the candidates are one. So he should have recused himself and allowed a non-biased attorney to actually step in.
Well,
there.
Or even better than that, I'll take you one further, Matt. I know, here's a concept. Why not just run a fair election and let the people vote?
That's not the El Paso way, Julie.
I'm sorry. Call me crazy. Let every person get this a concept, one vote, and then we will count those votes, and the person who wins, wins.
But anybody doesn't
crazy
know.
Talk. Crazy.
And
talk.
I like Ken Buck. Ken Buck's election was crooked.
And it mostly had to do with the proxies. I think in terms of the way the process worked, once you're in, but the proxies and all that, that's been a problem in party elections for a long, long time.
Well, it shouldn't be. God.
But here's the good news. Let me go, because I'm this positive. I think the good news though, Matt, is that this is the kind of stuff that I'm hopeful that the reason the executive committee, I mean, I got to think a few years ago, the executive committee would have just buried this and said, no.
Ryan Call's executive committee would have buried this. Jeff
exactly.
Hayes' executive committee would have buried this. There's no question.
Right. And so
the corruption was that deep. So again, kudos to Ken. And I don't know that he probably was not directly there. He's doing his main job as a congressman and good on him. But hey, kudos to the executive committee. And I don't know who all the members are, but they actually did the right thing. I am impressed. I'm somewhat surprised, to be honest, but good on
them. There's hope, you know what I mean? And then now sooner or later we can maybe get them to be realistic about how the voting world works. But you know, let me, because we got a packed show today. So I just want to give you a final word here, just because I know you're involved in so many things. I guess maybe final thoughts on this, anything else that people need to be brought up to speed on?
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, we need to call out these corruptocrats in our party. And Eli Bremer is one of the worst. He is crooked as the day is long. He has been involved in these kind of shenanigans for well over a decade. The man should be hounded from the state party. He should be shunned. Instead, he's actually running for national committee, man. I'm sorry. The last person on this planet that we want representing Colorado at the RNC is someone who is so incredibly corrupt and crooked. And oh, by the way, a complete loser. You know what he does for a day job? The guy's a multi-level marketer. I mean, he's a joke. And I'm sure this is his access, his way to sort of, you know, get access to money and have daddy help him out. And that whole little corrupt family business is going to kind of grow under his little corrupt stewardship. That is the last person that Colorado Republicans should want representing the state party.
And fortunately, we've got Randy Corbin, who we'll be talking to coming up here in about 15 minutes,
running
against
him. Good, solid guy. I mean, he is, obviously, he's good enough as a lawyer to actually, you know, win these cases against, I would say, kind of stacked odds. So great stuff. He's articulate. He can make the point, and he will be honest, which is a complete 180 degrees from the Bremer gang and that little monument mafia they got going down there.
Right. All right. Matt, thank you for coming on. We'll have you back on later when we can go longer when things aren't so crazy. But thank you for your perspective and your information. Thank you for the work that you do. Yeah,
well, Matt Arnold is one of our heroes to us anyway. Matt, thanks so much.
The Campaign Integrity Watchdog. Thank you, Matt. Want to switch gears here a little bit. And I saw we had a call from Barney. Let folks know we're going to talk to Karen. We're going to talk to Randy. But then we'll open it up to the phones, 888-627-6008. You know, there has been a movement, and Chuck described it as a prairie fire. And I think he's absolutely right. We've seen it in Michigan. I'm seeing it here. Colorado Citizen Press pointing out that some folks in Colorado are going to be safely social distancing, but doing the same thing they're doing in Michigan. And that is driving down to the state capitol to say, let's open it up. And Karen, we talked with you earlier today, and you were talking about, once again, we all want to become sort of honorary Weld County members, because you guys got it together up there. But what's going on? Fill us in.
Well, Greg Lopez is really responsible for originating this idea, and it just took somebody to envision the right kind of plan to give people an opportunity to get involved. So we are starting a snowball as of today.
That's calling it a prairie fire. Prairie fire.
Hopefully even bigger than that. And I loved the video on in Michigan. And I think people are ready for this. Here's the plan. And we're on board. I mean, there is no one real organizer. And that's the beauty of it, because there's so many people. Small business will be at the forefront of this. But there's so many people just itching for an opportunity to stand up in nonviolent resistance and civil disobedience and say, guess what? You ain't the boss of me. So here's the whole idea. Today is tax day, April 15th. We are giving Jared Polis his 2-week notice. Now, it'd be nice if we could fire him, but we tried that. It didn't work. We got to fire him in 2 years. But we need to get ahead of this, because Jared Polis doesn't like to be thought of poorly. You know, he's got all the money in the world. He can do anything he wants, but he really has rather thin skin when it comes to being held accountable and not being liked. There are people that are losing their livelihoods and their jobs. So Greg Lopez, and again, he doesn't care if he is the guy who gets credit for this. It's just a brilliant idea. So if you can see this, I don't know if you can.
Yep.
It says public notice. Businesses, whoever, and by the way, it's voluntary because we're the people who believe in freedom.
Right.
We are opening on May 1st. And guess what? You didn't ever have the right to shut us down in the first place, and you can't stop us. All right. We are well within our constitutional rights. And I've been saying for a long time that it is not, we should never go hat in hand to the people who took away our rights and beg them to give them back to us. So, and we have a lot to do once we open, but we got to get open. So here's a kind of a mock-up of a label.
It looks like the Mockingjay.
Isn't that great? It's Phoenix Rising.
There you go.
That's the Mockingjay.
And everybody is going to be their own PR person. They're going to talk to their own network of small business people. And if they want, they will post this notice, public notice. We're opening May 1st. And you know what? If you want to arrest us, arrest hundreds of thousands of us. Go ahead. We'll be on top of her.
And here's the thing. I think a bunch of things here to keep in mind, because the folks are going to freak out and start saying we're going to be killing people. We're not saying that you shouldn't social distance. We're not saying that you shouldn't use common sense health things. We're not saying that, you know, that there might be guidelines that you need to follow. That's all okay, right? We get that. We get that people are worried, et cetera, et cetera. But what we're saying is, and I think we totally support this, is come May 1st, unless something really dramatic happens, and so far all the models have been so far wrong, we have have no reason to think that it will. Businesses are going to backdoor. And you know what, Karen, I'm going to tell you what, I mentioned this to you. So I was talking to some people this morning, and a person I know who owns a small business, and had been talking with other people who were in similar business, right? And they had on their own decided, okay, the governor said we can come back on April 26th. They were sending out emails to their clients and their customers saying, we are reopening. Maybe they'll change it to May 1st, but they said, we're opening May 1st.
Now look, my preference is we opened yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. But this 2 weeks is to snowball.
Right.
A campaign, a very short campaign, just like Randy Corcoran's campaign. We're working on both of them. Randy Corcoran.
All right.
Right. Open for business May 1st. If people decide to open sooner, who are we to tell them not to?
Right.
The point is, they are masters of their own fate. And this little public's notice says social distancing, whatever you want.
Right.
But it's still our right. They never had the right to shut us down in the first place, and we got to let them know that.
Well, who they shut down? Let's get it right.
I'm sorry. I got so excited. Karen, you got me excited. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. There's a whole article in the Denver Post yesterday or the day before of how you get to be open or not open. And you got a lobbyist that has the governor's ear or the mayor's ear. Well, great. Yeah. If you're a small businessman, you don't. And so the whole process is corrupt as anything. And why some businesses are open, why other businesses are not open, has nothing to do with...
Look at Steve Reams, who I'm having on my show Friday.
Right.
You think the ACLU went after him because, he didn't prevent coronavirus as much? Governor Andrew Cuomo has the highest numbers in the country, they want to run him as president. So you give absolute power to someone, they absolutely corrupt and grab your freedom.
What's coming out, what Chuck was talking about, it was kind of interesting. I don't think the people who were talking it had understood how they were coming across, at least to people like me. So they were talking about how the day when Mayor Hancock announced the city was going to be shut down, and he was asked, does that include liquor stores and pot shops? And he said, yes, right? Well, immediately these people are like, oh my God, these are the lobbyists, the liquor store lobbyists and the pot lobbyists, saying we were immediately texting him, texting Alan Salazar, his chief of staff, texting the governor's office. Okay, so, and boom, within a matter of hours, the governor, all of a sudden, liquor stores went from being too dangerous for anyone to go to being okay.
And recreational marijuana became not essential to essential.
Right.
Purely subjective, based on the political whims of the left that has a monopoly in this state.
Yeah.
Right.
May I just say that the reason I love this is that everybody's going to take this ball and run with it in their own way. They're going to make these decisions, talk to their own network. Small business will be on the forefront, including NFIB and all the rest of them.
Right.
And we're going to use these 2 weeks to start educating people about, I'm sort of thinking in terms of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz when she wants to go home. And at the very end, someone says, the good witch says, you always had it within your power. You just didn't know.
And Neil Mathias texting, it's the 3% that fought. Hang on. It was the 3% that fought to give us independent.
Yes.
You are so right about this. And again, this is what this business person I was talking to, this person is not a particular, not even remotely a political person, right? Kind of able, just a business person. But he and several other people had numerous other people collectively said, this is BS, right? And he said, there's no reason with the proper, whatever, guidelines, common sense, health practices, that we should be going out of business. I should be not able to pay my mortgage. I can't pay the people that work for me. And meanwhile, I look at and some other businesses.
Well, Target is open for business.
Look at the government employees. Fauci can give all the orders he wants because he has a safe and secure job. The people that bought into this socialism utopian nightmare, we need to use these next 2 weeks. And if we open sooner, great. We'll say we won.
Right.
But we need to use these 2 weeks to educate people about, you want socialism? Here's what it looks like, and worse.
Well, and on top of that, as you said, number one, they don't have the right to close us down the way we did. It is scary to me how easily they did that. You look at what's going on in Michigan, and she's banning everything. She's banning like smiling, you know, in the privacy of your own home practically.
Right.
So, you know, and they just do that. And then the police, you've got police in Brighton arresting some guy for playing t-ball.
I
think it's confusing to the cops, right? And here's the thing. We should talk to Steve Reams or ask him about this. On the one hand, you've got sheriffs releasing convicted felons from prison. Yeah. We've got bad guys going free because it's too dangerous, but then they want to go ahead and arrest us for simply running a business that...
Well, you know, they had to empty the jail so they'd make room for the law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have plenty of room
exactly,
for us.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we should try to get local chambers of commerce to support this. I mean, the Denver Chamber is a socialist organization, so there's no hope there. But a lot of one around the state, we should try to get them and try to really build. This is a great idea.
You know, that is a great idea. And maybe we'll call our friend Jeff Allen. And if at the very least, maybe local chambers or places like that can kind of help kind of be a clearinghouse for people in terms of, okay, here's some information in terms of, you know, what does 6 feet look like? I mean, where do the stores, they all got those markers.
Yeah, but it's still up to us and it's still voluntary. If people don't want to go into a store that isn't distanced enough, then that's up to them.
Right.
I think that this campaign requires a great deal of strategy because in the world of politics, 2 weeks can be a long time, 2 weeks is nothing.
Right.
And what we need is a giant splash and a snowball and to let people know that it is the libertarians, the liberty lovers, the conservatives and the Republicans who want the city and the country open. It is the Democrats and the socialists who want to dictate to you. And that is not only is it fair game, I promise you, I'm already looking past when we open as to what it's going to look like. The Democrats are going to say, oh, get over it. It's over already.
Right.
Never. No. This needs to be the number one campaign issue of the year because it's all about socialism. It's all about freedom.
Well, and here's another thing, Karen, that I noted this morning. You know, you hear all of these celebrities, Oprah, everybody's jumping up and down, and politicians saying, oh, coronavirus is affecting the Black community more than anybody else, right? And so they're all virtue signaling. And the hypocrisy, which you had a great column on, is astonishing. I saw a statistic. Okay, so in last year, right, so the number of Black people who've died as a result of coronavirus so far is 27%. Of the people who've died in New York City. But last year, 62% of the people who were murdered, either in murder or negligent homicide, manslaughter, I guess, 62% in Chicago.
We're African American.
In Chicago, 83% of the people. So here's the thing, if somebody's listening, the Democrats do not care about you. They don't care if you get coronavirus. They don't care that it is affecting Black people or not Black people. All they care about is power.
They see everything through the glasses of race, gender and all the rest, and it just isn't working for them because they took leave of their philosophical and reasonable senses a long time ago. They can't make this about race and minority because everybody's hurting, and I venture to say when all the dust settles, the number of deaths from domestic violence, from suicides, from a host of terrible problems that affect 320 million people in America will be massive compared to the death.
No, Karen, because anything now that you show up anywhere dead and they just say coronavirus, right? It's like
the numbers I saw was 0.006 deaths in the United States of America. Now we sit here and we say, yeah, that's a tragedy, but we didn't shut the country down for crashes in on roads.
Right.
And all the rest of it. But that's not the argument. The argument is liberty.
Right.
That's the argument. And Republicans tend to try to concede points to the left when the left is, I'm going to say something radical.
No.
They're evil. Their ideology is evil. And to concede with that completely gives away our very best point, which is, we're the liberty people. We're the freedom people. We're the people that even if we disagree with you, we still go to bat for your freedom to live the way you want, be the way you want, run a business the way you want, and not have the government tell you that you have to do it the way they say.
You're right. Planned Parenthood can open up May 1st if they want to. You know what I mean?
No, they have a right to protest.
They're essential, open. They're exactly.
Killing,
and we have a right to protest. But that's not what's happening. I think this is an eye-opener for the people who, you know, they're a socialist as long as they have their cell phone and their computer. And they don't understand what this is really all about. This Venezuela.
But, well, what I love is it quickly falls into politically correct categories. It quickly goes to blacks, or the too many blacks are dying, and compare, we got to kill more whites with coronavirus. And they say, okay, it's domestic violence, which means men. Okay, that's it. It's all the men. We got to start arresting more of them in their homes and so forth. I mean, everything is a politically, goes through the political lens of the left.
Everything.
And they don't care.
I would like to encourage everyone to get their big boy pants on, I'm telling you, and fight like hell for this, because this is just the beginning. Once we open, people, businesses need to sue for damages. And I know that's hard, but we cannot allow this ever to happen again. We have to use this as a teaching tool.
Because
we have these flyers, and there should be a Facebook page open like by midnight tonight. That's how hard people are working.
Yeah.
Well, and if they want these flyers earlier, they can write me, email me at Karen@KarenCataline.com, and I will send you what we've got so that you can use your network of people, send emails and say, we're opening May 1st, and you can't stop us.
Well, that's May 1st is the International Workers' Day.
Yeah, you workers' know, day. Right. Yeah,
but now, real workers, real businessmen, it's May Day.
That's right.
The world unite, because,
that's right.
Because you know what? We once again, you know, you've got the only people looking out for us is each other.
You
right?
can be freed from your chains.
I encourage everybody to watch that movie, Gandhi, because 100,000 Englishmen cannot control 300 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate.
Of course, they killed each other, a million of them. But let's not go there.
That's not the point, Chuck.
That's not the point. All right, so Karen, where will people find this Facebook page?
We don't have it up yet. And that's the thing. Yeah. Everybody needs to go to their groups, small business, anybody who's a conservative, your liberty lover, and if you want something to send them, just send me an email and I'll send you what I've got. The minute I have more, Facebook address.
Exactly. And you know, and we'll put it up on all of our social media and stuff like that too. Maybe we'll do a quick little YouTube live thing with you once you guys get that up and running. So, all right, Karen.
And have Greg Lopez on. He's a wonderful
star. Well, we had him on before, but we'll have him again for this.
He's great at this stuff.
Who's also behind this too is Casper Stock. I mean, CD7 was saying he's starting campaigning safely. He said, but I'm campaigning April 30th, you know, so he said, you can't stop me. So
One other thing,
Greg Lopez came up with the new term, coronaphobia.
I don't
even need to explain it. You understand. There's a lot of fear out there, and we just got to get past the fear.
Finally, let me give you a chance. You got your show on BBS Radio, just like us, spouting off with Karen Cataline. When can folks listen to you?
Friday at noon, and I'm having Steve Reams as my guest.
Excellent.
And we're going to talk about how the ACLU is suing him.
That's great. Good for them.
All right,
good
Karen, thank you.
All right, thanks,
time.
Karen. Thanks take care.
Thank Bye-bye. You.
We're on Bye-bye. Your team. Thank you there.
All right.
No, I think that's it.
May Day. It's May Day for all of us. It's a great idea. Greg Lopez. That's a smart thing.
Well, he kind of hinted at that. You know, and Anil is texting us awesome, he says.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
No, so that's all
great,
very good.
This is a great idea. Which is another great idea. We've got Randy Corpin with us. He has a Saturday show. He, in fact,
at 710 KNUS.
710 KNUS. He was on from 6 to 9. One time was an old spot of ours, and now he's from 9 to 12, which is more gentlemanly a time to get up. he's running for Republican National Committee men. And I'll let him explain that is. He explained it to me this morning, exactly what one does. But it's become an enormous race between the corrupt moneyed establishment supporting the corrupt Eli Bremer and all the grassroots people, no money, just decent, honorable men, women, kids, everybody supporting Randy. So great to have you on, Randy.
Hey, Randy.
It's always good to see you guys. It's the only way I get to see you now at CES.
Yeah, that's the way you know my son. That's the only way anybody sees anybody. Why don't you, like Chuck said, start out by, now does a national committee person, do you get some kind of free air travel and restaurant specials and do you get to cut in the front of the line?
Yes, it's a 4-year limousine contract. I own a private helicopter. And you know, it's really interesting because when I was asked about running for committee man, I had to ask the same question. Well, I voted for George Lang. I know we have a committee man and an RNC. And so what the heck is it? What is it? What would the time commitment be? The financial commitment, everything else. And we all know what the RNC is. Everybody gets the emails and the fundraisers. And we see Ronna McDaniel, who I think is doing an excellent job running the RNC and backing the president as the face of the RNC. And the committee man is just simply Colorado's representative on the Republican National Committee. And they have things like quarterly meetings where we get together and talk about rules for the convention, rules for the Republican Party, fundraising ideas, and how to focus resources where they need to be to win elections. I will certainly be a strong voice for focusing resources in Colorado. We've seen a real uptick in that this year with Cory Gardner on the ballot. But we need to have resources focused on Colorado in off-year elections as well, so we can start fixing what's going on down at the Capitol. And so it's meetings, it's hobnobbing. You do get to, you know, interact with people from the president down to folks in Congress, fundraisers, the whole nine yards. But as I learn more about it, I talked to George quite a bit. I've reached out to Mark Hillman, who is also a 4-year committee man. And it seems like it ought to be a two-way street. You know, we talk about taking Colorado's voice to Washington, D.C. Well, that's great. I'm one of 50 committee people that will be there. Well, 100, really, because you have a committee woman from Colorado and a committee man. But I want to also get some of those power players in Washington, D.C. to give some love back to Colorado. And with the radio show and social media, we can do things like this if people can't fly out here and be here.
Sure.
But they can be on at my Tea Party meetings when there's 60, 70, or 100 people watching. Or we can do more like what you guys are doing right now. You can broadcast on Facebook and all kinds of things. I just, you know, the grassroots doesn't really have a voice out there. And I not only want to be that squeaky wheel, but also get them to be talking and relating to the grassroots right here in Colorado. And I think I'm as well situated to do that as anybody.
I know you totally have our support, but let me ask you, when I say our, because I want to clarify for people, because if they're all like, okay, I'm going to vote for him, for instance, Chuck can vote, I can't, who can, and I want to talk about the broader
solely because of sex. And,
right,
and,
yeah,
and
yes,
all
you're,
male ballot,
you're a white guy.
White guy, only white guy.
If you're over 5'5", you can vote. No, who can vote for you?
So it's only state delegates, people who have already went through caucus and became state delegates that will be participating in the assembly this Saturday. It's another electronic assembly. The voting is going to be open all weekend long for people who aren't or don't want to utilize computer voting. And it won't be anything like the election Eli Brummer run.
Okay. Should we hack it?
Which I've learned quite a bit about. I know we're going to talk about it in a minute. But
okay.
Because there is great, easy, low-cost, even free technology to make secure, secret balloting still possible. But for folks who don't want to mess with that, they had to request a mail-in ballot. The Republican Party will have sent those out, and those have to be back in by next Wednesday.
Okay.
So we won't even know the results of this race until a week from Saturday.
Okay. So there's voting going on. Well, let me get back to then. That's, we talked at the beginning of the show with Matt Arnold about what I'm calling a grassroots smackdown of establishment crookedness. And kudos to the Colorado Republican Party's executive committee. But why don't you explain, because you represented the guy, David Stiver. Is that how you say his name?
David Stiver. And there were CD 10 delegates as well.
You mentioned the voting. Talk a little bit about the issues with the voting.
Well, there were really four big problems as I see it. This election was set up, and I'm not arguing that some of these things were violations of the rules. I don't know that they were. The rules in Senate District 10 seem to be pretty lax. But just common sense and fairness and preserving secrecy and all of those kinds of things, there were really four big problems. The electronic voting process, which was just set up as a Yahoo email account.
Controlled by Eli Brummer.
Well, he did bring in people from outside, Joe Webb and
Joe Webb, right.
Well, they aren't.
Why did he bring his wife in?
Dog.
Why did he bring his wife in? That'd be good.
She was busy. All right, let me finish.
Well, the point is they're outside SD10, so they didn't have a connection to the election, and they were the ones who were charged with reviewing the votes as they came in. So the only level of secrecy was that Joe Webb and Don Yitterberg would be the ones reviewing the ballots. Technically, they wouldn't be seen by Larry Liston or by Eli Bremer or any of the other officers in SD10. I think that was a mistake, but I don't think it was a violation of the rules.
Okay.
But then halfway into their first day of voting, that account was hacked.
Oh,
so,
the Russians?
Don't know. So then they set up a second Yahoo account. Let's see. The first Yahoo account was hacked, so we'll fix it. We'll just set up a second Yahoo account.
There you go. Good solution.
And tried to complete the voting. And so that was changed while voting was going on. In addition, usually credentialing is done before a vote. And right. That way, if alternates are elevated to become voters, if any of the candidates have questions about them, their credentials, were they on the list of people I could have reached out to about my campaign, they can challenge those elevations. But in this case, alternates were elevated while the voting was going on.
That sounds a lot like what happened with the proxies
chairman's election.
Well, go ahead. So that seems kind of questionable.
So again, things that you mentioned, something that we should have learned from that happened before that maybe shouldn't have been available to happen in this new election. I give a large amount of understanding that the Chinese Wuhan virus had just kicked in. People were scrambling to find out different ways to make this happen. But I've participated in elections now. CD6, I was elected national delegate as a member of the Trump slate at the invitation of the Trump campaign. Yeah. That was smooth and secure and secret. And the Arapahoe County Assembly, I'm on the executive committee and a precinct leader. And so I voted in that. And again, it was secret and it was smooth and easy to do with these low-cost or no-cost apps. But then here's the thing. Here's where it gets weird. And I didn't try to make too much hay out of it because I can't look into the minds of the people that make this decision. I was actually arguing for Larry and for these delegates during the committee meeting last night. And before I get to this third issue, I just want to take my hat off to Ken Buck, Christy Burton Brown, the secretary, and all of the executive committee members. That meeting was really run smoothly. They didn't waste time with extraneous, lots of chairman remarks and pontificating. It was boom, boom, boom. Let's get to the challenges. Let's get to the votes. People were respectful. They weren't talking over each other. Electronic meetings can really work. And I think we may see a lot more of them, even when we're actually able to get within 6 feet of each other again.
Yeah.
So, but here's what was weird. The original date for this election was, pulling up the exact dates right now, was March 28th. And then it was moved up. That was a Saturday. It was moved up. That was when it was going to be in person. Then it was moved up to Wednesday, March 25th. On Tuesday, March 17th, Chairman Bremer announced that the assembly would be conducted electronically. And he gave a 24-hour window for people who hadn't yet submitted their intention to run as a candidate. Gave them 24 hours to do it. David Stivers submitted his intention to run. Well, that was the next day on the 18th. It was timely. The day after that, Chairman Bremer moved the election up again from March 25th to March 22nd. So that basically he gave David Stiver 3 days basically to, mount a campaign.
And, there you go.
And I'll tell you, someone who's been in an intense week-long campaign, 3 extra days to reach out.
That's huge.
And it's a much, I've got 3,400 delegates to deal with.
Right.
In SD10, they had like 190 who were qualified or something. 200 is the round number. So you could really, 3 days would make the difference in talking to people. But instead, they moved it up and said, now it's going to be on March 22nd. And the reasoning that you asked about had something to do with potential changes and stay-at-home orders or whatever. I argued that the reason was spurious because we were already going to be doing this electronically by our phone, by our computer. We were going to be home, so it really didn't matter. But that really prejudiced the candidacy of Mr. Stiver. And then what I argued is the most unforgivable thing. was during the election, David Stiver was complaining about delegates being elevated while the voting is going on.
That's unbelievable.
Right. The delegates asked for the election to be delayed after the account was hacked. And the chairman, Bremer, said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to finish this thing up. And so Stiver was, I guess, on social media doing all kinds of things. And Eli Bremer, during the election, sent out an email to the delegates, to the voters, that said, this guy is slandering us on social media. And, you know, I never actually saw the email, but it wasn't denied during the hearing yesterday. And the summary that I got of it was that he basically called Stiver a liar and a slanderer and a libeler.
Now he should, that he has zero, just so folks understand, he's supposed to be like the impartial election judge. So
he's the chairman. He's not the
You
his
can't be
candidate.
Sending out saying, hey, this guy who happens to be coincidentally running against my guy and all the various ways I've used to try to throw the election to my guy still aren't working. So now I'm just going to call the other guy a liar. So don't vote for him. That's like,
well,
insane.
What would have been appropriate if he felt the need was, you know, I'm the chairman of this thing and I deny these allegations.
Right.
And I defend our efforts in making this a fair process. But he introduced the words slander and others into the communication. So, you know, it was frustrating to me because we really got a taste in this hearing of the kind of the arrogance of the establishment. And Chuck, you'd have recognized this the second you saw it. The Wayne Williams represented Larry Liston.
And people don't know, Wayne Williams was the Secretary of State. He lost that position, and then he ran for Colorado Springs City Council, and he was elected to that. But he is the most establishment of establishment people.
Well, and Larry, or Wayne Williams, pointed out in his letter that Larry has been elected to X, Y, and Z, and that, you know, he donates, and David Stiver is a new grassroots guy and donating to people and stuff.
So in other words, he was citing, Randy, that Larry Liston has paid off people, so therefore he should be allowed to be corruptly elected by the people he paid off, whereas David Stivers is just running. I'm sorry, I'm being sarcastic.
And he summarized, and Wayne summarized the letter on behalf of Larry Liston by quoting Teddy Roosevelt. Roosevelt, when he said the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. And so I just lambasted that last night. I said, you know, The grassroots people who show up for the first time, who struggle through this system, who try and overcome all of the built-in bias and the immaturity and the emotions and everything else, they are in the arena, and they are equally deserving of our respect and a fair opportunity to participate.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. The establishment Republicans, they might have a point if they'd done something competently in the last few election cycles, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we, under the leadership of the establishment Republicans, lose every single state, right? I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, those guys in the arena, I'm sorry. I say we get a new bunch of people in the arena because they aren't doing so great as far as I can tell.
Well, and that's why, you know, I gave that shout out at the start to Ken Buck and Christy Burton Brown. That is an example of new leadership.
Yes.
I am seeing things. We've got more boots on the ground in the Republican Party. We're going to have more field offices. More money is, in fact, coming in. There are constant trainings online where people can, you know, and they're recorded. So if people can't show up when the live training is happening, they can go back and get them. And those are things that just simply haven't happened under the last couple of administrations in the Republican Party. And I think it's really going to help us make a difference.
What about then? Final couple questions for you. So in the end, then, the executive committee, what did they decide on behalf of David Stivers?
Well, I have to say, I still haven't gotten an official notification, but I have heard from enough people that apparently they voted to. I gave them two options: you either have to have them redo this election if there's any possible way to do it with time, or just simply elevate David Stiver to the ballot. He only missed it by 7 votes.
Whoa.
And so with all the shenanigans and all the things that we just discussed, 7 votes wouldn't have been too hard to get, especially with 3 extra days to campaign if that thing hadn't been moved up. So instead, they're just putting Larry Liston on the ballot.
That's smart. That's
smart.
David Stiver on the ballot with Larry Liston. If it's approved at the Central Committee meeting, which is Friday night. But I expect that will happen. I will.
And that just seems fair. And let me kind of just you know, kind of wrapping it up, one of the reasons this is so important, I was being somewhat sarcastic, but not really. Some of the establishment Republican people and the establishment Republican candidates don't exactly have a winning track record in Colorado, getting elected, let alone once they get to the state legislature. To me, we need those grassroots votes, voices. We need new voices. And the Democrats do a great job at recruiting and bringing up new voices. We need to do that too, rather than saying, oh no, if you're not in our little circle click here, you can't even participate. So,
well, halfway intelligent people would say for some like that, great, welcome to the ballot.
Right.
Let's run a great election. Whoever wins, wins, and yeah, both will both fall behind that person. Instead, what happens is, I promise you, they'll kind of go, well, if we don't get listed, then we'll give no money. So, you know, but if we win, then we'll say, hey, you people need to be not, yeah, stop being naysayers. We must all unite. We've heard it so many times from these dirtballs.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's tiresome. We have some of the dirtiest, most amoral person in the establishment there are. The establishment people all go in country clubs and they just put out They're evil minions to do awful things. And Eli Bremmer is one of those really evil people. He's an evil individual.
Well, I don't know him personally. And since I'm a candidate, you know, I'm not going to draw an assessment like that. But I think there is a clear...
You don't have to.
I think there is a clear distinction between somebody like me who got involved in Republican politics as a Tea Party patriot and then a Tea Party leader and has worked really, really hard to advance the cause and the belief system of people like me, and also worked on developing those relationships with people in the party so that I could have an impact on getting a Ken Buck elected chair, a Christy Burton Brown elected vice chair, and even have a chance of now representing grassroots interests from Colorado in the Republican National Committee meetings.
Yes.
That's something for us all to be proud of, because that's what we've done by pushing back against the establishment all the time.
But right. Even then, the
just
dumbest, the dumbest thing they ever did was not take Susan Beckman under their wing after they cheated her election, and because she knew how to win elections. She knew from the very beginning, because she documented it, how to win elections, and they didn't. And so she went off to the Trump administration.
Yeah.
But it's a disgrace that they didn't. And someday, as Ted Trimpa says, someday some Republicans will actually want to win. Not just
retain power
as a minority, but actually win. And when that day happens, Republicans will begin to win again. But they won't as long as the Eli Bremmers of the world are out there crooking elections. So I think it's going to be a huge battle. I know I've gotten calls because I'm one of the delegates. I've been getting calls from Eli Bremmer's surrogates and so forth, talking about how what a Christian man he is. And I kind of go, really? Have you checked his record? And they go, oh, no.
How can people
help you?
Help you out there.
Yeah, you bet. We've got emails and text messages that have gone out to all of the delegates, and they all include my cell phone number. So I've had people call me even right up to when I came on the air with you, been talking to delegates. It's really exciting. New people and old folks.
Yes.
And some who've never heard of me. And then we start talking and we realize right away we're birds of a feather. So it gives me a lot of confidence. And then my email is rbc4colorado, rbcforcolorado@gmail.com.
Well,
a website, randycorporan.com. So all of those things, Facebook, Randy Corporan for committee man, and everywhere now.
And let me hand you again, Chuck is going to say, oh, don't say that. But I want to hand you a softball question. To me,
I know.
Well, no, but to me, we get down on the establishment Republicans, right? But I think something you said earlier, I think one of the things that we're seeing that gives me hope and should give all of us hope is how we saw this come out. Under Ken Buck's leadership, there is a change, and it may be slow to turn the boat around, but I think the boat is turning. I think under President Trump, maybe a year ago, I would have been like, we're doomed. The Republican Party in Colorado is doomed. Some people think that still. I don't think that anymore. I think that things are changing, and it's going to be, like you said, a prairie fire, and I think there's a new change coming.
Well, a great example. This is really being driven from the top down. The Trump administration. I was a Ted Cruz delegate in 2016, and yet here, as we head into the 2020 election, I was reached out to by the Trump campaign and asked if I would run on a Trump slate and support the president. And so it's not, there's no hard feelings. We're not, we all have primary battles, right?
Right.
But what are you doing for us now? And what have you done for us lately? And so it is a top-down effort to reach out to all facets of the Republican Party, including those who've walked away from it, and say, look, we've got to stop socialism. We've got to stop governors who think they can control what you can buy at the grocery store, even though it's right there across the aisle. This, you watched, yes. I'm sure, this thing going on in Michigan. It's just incredible. So I'm with you, Julie. I've always been an optimist, but I also remember what the Republican Party was like 10 years ago. And you have to take a satellite view to see the progress that has been made. But the progress has been made, and there's a good chance that a Tea Party leader from Colorado will be elevated to the role of Republican National Committee man if the state delegates believe in my vision and do their job.
Well, right. I think it'd be one first important step. The Republican Party has to do so much more, and one day we can talk about how much more they have to do, because the PCP, I get to really see how the
engine works. Jack, you're bringing me down.
Well, I don't care if I'm bringing you down.
I know.
I like to win. And I'm not into not winning. And so it's going to be, and I think, one good step this Saturday, electing Randy Corbin as a Republican committee.
All right. Randy, thank you for your time. Randy from Corbin, you're everywhere. You're everywhere. Thank you.
Take care, Randy.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right. We only got about a minute left. So
all right. Well, that's one. Carl Citizen Press. Those are the guys who really love. You got to go to them every day. Only place you get Republican, conservative, clear thinking, liberty.
Well, true, straight up. You know, it's not filtered by what this lobbyist says or that lobbyist says. ColoradoCitizenPress.com. To reiterate what they talked about before, they have a poll up saying that most of the people who answered their poll said, let's get back to work. Karen Cataline is doing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love doing Mayday. This. Mayday.
On May 1st. Want to let folks know, please go to chuckandjulie.com if you ever want to catch the other podcasts. Then go to the YouTube channel and hit subscribe. One of the things we want to do is start bringing you more live. It's happening information, stuff going on.
Doesn't cost you anything. You'll get good information, no intrusion, but it really helps us. We get to 1,000, we're rolling.
We're rolling. So I want to say thank you to the BBS guys. Thank you to Matt Arnold, Randy Corporate, and Karen Cataline.
Golf time.
Golf time. There you go. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.